When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to the only thing worthwhile on the entire internet. Welcome back, you geeks who have decided to opt into hot geek summer rather than hot people summer, person summer.
Are you replacing hot girl summer with hot people summer?
Yeah, just I don't want that to be gender exclusive.
I do.
Hot guy summer.
hot geek summer only, actually.
I mean, that's why it doesn't matter because right. Hot, whatever, right, okay. Hot girl, hot guy. The point is it's hot geek summer.
Yeah, and I get it.
I'm proud of you all for choosing to entertain. So geeks, welcome to 8 Second Apologies. I need to apologize for some things that Rachel did in her last.
No, you don't. It's okay.
Two.
You really don't episodes. Have to. It's okay.
As if one wasn't enough, we now have it two wasn't. To apologize for.
One wasn't enough.
So I would first like to apologize to you for Rachel not being able to get all this done in one episode and having to add two, throw your whole schedule off. Now, I mean, it's like, I feel like you're going to be all messed up now because Rachel screwed up the weekly calendar for you by throwing in another episode.
No, so I didn't. I just gave them extra.
So I apologize to you for that. I would also like to apologize for Rachel's ability to glamorize torture and speak of this in a very nonchalant way.
Okay. It was like 1 second where I misspoke and said, well, did I really? Okay, wait. I still can't redeem myself for this. I don't actually want to be tortured, okay? We've been over this. I just hypothetically would like to know how much torture I could withstand before I broke.
I'm so sorry.
And I stand by that. There's just not a good way to say it.
Well, I am sorry to you.
I'm
on
not.
On her behalf because she will not apologize. I'm not sorry. Right. So those are our 8 second apologies.
That was a lot longer than 8 seconds.
We can never make her happy.
No. It's impossible.
We will always be inferior.
I'm glad you know it.
All right. Well, despite my inferiority, I have a story for us today.
I hate that this makes me want to dance.
So we are going to talk about Rasputin today.
So here's something interesting. I actually know, like, nothing.
Oh, my gosh. I know everything.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to say, like, I thought you were going to be mad at me for not knowing this. I purposely, like, I know that you wanted to cover this topic, so I purposely have been avoiding any information.
You're so kind.
Because I didn't want
to ruin it.
Yeah, for myself. I didn't want to ruin it for myself.
So we're going to, in order to tell this story, we're going to start at the end.
Okay.
First.
Okay. Let's do it.
Imagine early 1900s in Russia.
Mm.
It's cold.
Yes.
Very cold. It's winter. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
The Neva River is flowing. Well, it's not flowing. It's frozen. And blood starts flowing above this frozen water.
Okay. Am I just like reading some Tolstoy next to a window overlooking the blood river?
Exactly. Mm. So Russian. So we have a dead Rasputin.
Okay, sure. As we do. Understandable.
But it took
understandable
poison, 3 gunshots.
Okay.
Like attack. What is that? Assault. That's the word I'm looking for. And like hypothermia.
Okay.
To kill this man. So this is 1916, and a man by the name Prince Felix Yusupov is the perpetrator of Rasputin's murder.
Are you saying these correctly? I'm just trusting you.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
You know, fun fact.
Yeah.
Most of this comes from, or most of like my obsession with it started when I was a kid and that Anastasia movie came out. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's like an older, it's not Disney at everyone.
No, it's not.
Anyways, the character in the movie is like so ridiculous. Like it's not, Rasputin was more sophisticated than that. But I remember watching that movie and being like, I love this whole segment of history. And then I actually learned about it and realized the movie wasn't really that accurate, but it was still great. It was a starting point. So needless to say, Rasputin is dead. But why? Why was he murdered?
Why don't they pronounce it that way in the song?
Because it didn't rhyme with queen. It's rah-rah Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, I think it might be a little bit potato-potato.
Butcher the whole name? Okay.
I mean, it's a Russian name that we're translating into English, so you do what you can.
Nazdarovya.
I do remember. Also, you were learning Russian, and I remember we were chatting about it before, and you showed me how to say things and write things, and I said, that's very impressive, Rachel. I don't know what you're saying.
Here's the thing. I learned just enough Russian to impress people for like a month.
I love it.
Then I stopped.
So feel free to chime in with Russian sayings that I won't know what they are.
Dude, I don't remember any of it. I do remember Nastarovya, which is like not actually something that Russian people say often, so I've heard.
But. Fair enough. So now that we're kind of, okay, Rasputin's dead. Why is he dead? I think that's
a good question.
Rasputin is a character that has become a legend.
Yeah.
Like, so it's almost like, who is the man behind the legend?
Mm-hmm. The man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend, yes. Rasputin. So I want to go back and unveil a little bit about who this man is.
Let's do it.
So that we can understand why he was murdered. Rasputin was born in January 21st, 1869, in a larger town in Siberia. Siberia, important to note, is kind of the in Russia, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, Siberia is the place where they would send political exiles or, you know, prisoners and stuff. So it's not like a big glamorous city, you know, it's kind of the downtrodden, for lack of a better word. So this is the world that he's growing up in. So you can imagine he, you know, did have a somewhat tough childhood. Not a lot of money, poor education, really a small, not small, but a rural town in this freezing.
He's just a small town boy.
Just a small town boy living in a lonely world.
Living in a lonely Siberia.
Took the midnight train.
Going to Siberia.
Siberia. So.
going from and to Siberia.
His early years are debatable. Again, this is where there's so much legend about him. I mean, records were iffy at this point. No one cares about a random kid in Siberia. So
I know I don't.
Not a lot of details. So his daughter named Maria wrote, basically a whole biography about her father. And after he's murdered, in a way of like being justifying her dad and being like, why did everybody kill him? He was just a nice guy.
Oh.
So we learn a lot in Maria's book that you have to take with a grain of salt, obviously, since she's trying to vindicate her father.
Yeah.
So Maria was one who said her father was well-educated and very literate, but very literate, very educated might be a little strong. He definitely had education, knew how to read and write enough.
Subjective terms.
Right. It's very subjective terms. He was already unruly from birth, automatic troublemaker out of the womb. And so this actually becomes something that kind of follows him. His unruly childhood nature is kind of how people keep trying to be like, but when you were three, you know, they try to get at him even when he's in
define
power.
Define unruly.
We'll get okay. into examples. Okay. He was only his older siblings, none of them like lived it, you know, up to birth or past like a year after their birth. So he was like the only kid in his family. And by the age of 12, everyone except his father was dead. So lots of trauma, some might say. And he was really left without much guidance. His dad had to work and, you know, whatever. So his unruliness came in just the form. I think it was pretty petty things, just like, you know, like a hoodlum. If you think like our understanding of like a community hoodlum. Like,
are you a boomer? A hoodlum.
I mean, I didn't even know what no cap was. I mean, come on. Like, am I a boomer?
Okay, probably. But when you say unruly, was he like, you know, running around high energy, or was he lighting animals on fire?
So not like that intense.
Okay.
But it was more than just like running around having a good time. He was like causing problems with neighbors. A troublemaker. Exactly. An unruly troublemaker. So
did he have only child syndrome?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd like to say.
Sorry to our listeners who are only children. But check yourself.
We don't hate you.
I'm kidding.
Just make sure you're not Rasputin.
Yeah, that's really what we're going for here.
So another thing to note about Russia, Siberia in the 1860s, very Orthodox, very religious. Mm. So, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church, not the same thing as the Catholic Church by any standards. But they were equally as religious as like Europe in the 1500s and 1600s, like Western Europe, I should say.
Okay.
So think like Protestant Reformation, Catholicism, almost borderline Crusades. Like,
I am thinking
very
it.
Religious, very engulfed in like the spiritual realm as having an active role in reality. So that's the world that Rasputin is growing up in.
Temporal reality.
Yes. So he early on is showing these gifts of second sight. And his whole community, he kind of becomes this sort of like...
What is second sight?
Yeah, it's clairvoyance, like predicting the future.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so he has that. He's, you know, he's a clairvoyant, basically. There's one story where Rasputin as a boy was able to predict who the thief was, who like steals a horse later on down the road in like the community. So like Rasputin's like, you're going to steal a horse one day.
Was he like, you're going to steal a horse? Or was he like, I don't like that dude?
No, it was like, you're going to steal a horse.
Nice.
He's like a
kid.
He's
got a regular Nostradamus on our hands.
Exactly. So, and then like a couple weeks later or whatever, I don't know the exact timeline for this story because it's, you know, whatever. But someone steals a horse and they know who it is and they use he was able to prove the guilty party.
Stealing
so
horses.
Again, this kind of soothsaying clairvoyance was something that was really appealing to the people of Siberia at this time. He gained this reputation
despite
of he was seen as a prophet.
Okay.
Essentially.
That's what I was going to ask.
He had this like connection to the spiritual realm.
Okay.
You know, and that was, and again, the other thing too to consider here, just like with Western Europe in the earlier ages of Christianity, there was a connection between like Russian folklore and more of like the folk tales and that more spiritual realm in addition to the Christian spiritual realm. So there's kind of two different attitudes towards Rasputin's gift of clairvoyance. So there's some that are very much like, wow, this is amazing. He's like a prophet. He's so connected. It's he kind of gets almost like a cult-like following. But then there's others that mostly start joining together when he starts gaining power later in his life, because he becomes a threat at that point. You know, I think there's a healthy recognition that he's predicting things, but we don't like that.
Right.
So continuing in our story. So Rasputin meets a woman named Praskovya. I can't say it. Praskovya.
I'm not looking at it, but
Dubrovina.
Let me see it. It's been a long time.
Praskovya Dubrovina.
I mean, it's in English.
Praskovya Dubrovina.
It's in
They profane it.
It's in like the English.
This is the anglicized version.
Yeah. Not that if it were in the Russian alphabet, I don't know that it would be that much better for me.
It would be harder
help.
For me to.
No, for me.
Oh.
Because it's been a long time.
We're going to call her Praskovya. Okay. If anyone listens to this and knows how to pronounce it,
we have some Russian listeners.
Yeah. Please help a girl out. I have listened to like pronunciations on Google, but like, great. Again, if you're, it's the, whatever, I'm still going to mess it up. So, the couple gets married. They actually have a pretty legit marriage. No, like they're pretty normal.
We love a normal marriage.
Right. So
what's a normal marriage?
Like, I guess that is a great point.
I'm full of those.
They're just husband and wife chilling in Siberia.
Oh, that sounds nice. Except for the Siberia part.
And they're kind of infatuated with each other. So young love. In 1890, so I guess that makes him what, 21?
I don't remember what year. He was born in 69. Yeah.
No.
What year did you say? Now what year are we in?
He's not 11.
What year did you say?
1890.
Do you think that 69 plus 11 is 90?
No.
No, he's 21.
That's what I thought, right?
Yes. He's 21.
For some reason, I was thinking it was 11. And I was like, that's not right.
That would be 1880.
Yeah, that's what I just realized. But that's why I was like, I can't do math.
Why'd you second guess that math?
I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
He has a son. So, yay, joyous. The son dies. Because infant mortality.
Not joyous.
And so at this point, Rasputin is just grieving and he is like completely shattered and decides to spend now a period of time doing pilgrimages.
Okay.
So he is just becomes a wanderer for a couple years. And
it sounds like
as
fun.
He's wandering, he gets the reputation for a holy man and starts to accumulate a following. He started really just staying in different, like going to different monasteries and churches in Siberia. Eventually he did go to the Holy Land. So he went to Israel, that area, Israel, Palestine, whatever I guess at this point it would just have been Palestine. And just kind of started wandering and going to these different holy places to kind of get in touch with God, center his spirituality, and dive into that as like, comfort after his son's loss. And he basically became this, like, he became a prophet and just a holy man. So
where's the turn?
We're getting
I know it's coming.
So throughout his traveling, he's just meeting, he's becoming popular. And so again, this is why it's important. Like, they were religious people in Russia at this point, and that's really the only way this like crazy holy man's gonna get a lot of traction. So he starts meeting these, like, the social elite. So there is John of Kronstadt, who was a spiritual advisor and a former archpriest. Eliodore the Mad Monk, the Grand Duchess.
Hold on. That's the greatest name I've ever heard.
Yeah, Eliodore the Mad Monk.
I want a name like that.
Next deep dive into Eliodore
the Mad Monk. Somebody please give me a wonderful name like that, please. I'm begging you, please.
You have your assignment. You have your mission, should you choose to accept it. The Grand Duchess, Anastasia, and the Grand Duchess, Militsa. So at this point, after meeting the Grand Duchess and the Grand Duchess Anastasia and then her sister, the other Grand Duchess, they are the ones that supposedly connect them in with the royal family.
Okay.
And so at this point, this is where his life begins to change.
Wait, you may have already said this, but I was too distracted by the Mad Monk. How did they meet?
Just along his travels. Okay. He starts gaining this. It's kind of like, you know, I meet him. He's networking.
He's growing his LinkedIn network.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. His LinkedIn is, he's getting all kinds of recommendations from Eliodore the Mad Monk.
Ooh.
So now it's important to briefly touch on the Romanov family. So the Romanovs have been in power of Russia since like the 1700s, I believe. I don't remember that exact date, actually. They've been around for a long time. So Nicholas II is the Tsar of Russia, and he's a Romanov. Okay. He's married to Grand, what's her title? I guess Tsarina. Alexandra. They have four daughters and a son.
Okay.
The son is the last to be born.
Okay.
So again, they're looking for an heir at this point. They finally have a son. Hallelujah. But then they find out he
hallelujah.
Has hemophilia.
Oh, okay.
So hemophilia, for those of you who don't know, Rachel, I'm sure you know, is, you know, if you get your body can't clot. It mm-hmm. can't clot. So if you start bleeding, you'll bleed out, mm-hmm. whether it's internal or external. Mm-hmm. So as the only heir to the throne of Russia, he lives a very sheltered lifestyle.
Protect the son.
Right. So
typical.
How the Romanovs really connect with Rasputin is there's a moment where, so his name is Alexei. The Tsarevich mm-hmm. Alexei gets bumped or bruised and he starts bleeding.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's freaking out because he has hemophilia. And so they call up. They send him a Facebook message, mm-hmm. Mr. Rasputin, and they say...
Well, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
DM'd. Yeah. Send a Snapchat text. And they basically, they said, oh my gosh, our son is bleeding out and you're supposed to be this holy man, this healer, this foreseer, like come help.
Yeah.
And he does. Now the whole story is pretty, I mean, I remember like hearing this story and being so weirded out. He like goes into like a room with the kid and like closes the door and then just like walks out and he's like, he's fine. And they're all like, I can just imagine this whole scene. He's like very like, he's just like this very tall man. He's just a very, very, very tall man with like, I'm going to put a picture up of his eyes because his eyes are like a thing about him.
Yeah.
It's the pictures of him are creepy because of his eyes. That's why people, I mean, again, he could apparently see things. But just like walking into this room being like, okay, see you in a second. Like closes the door and then just walks out. Little Alexei's like, hey, mom, hey, dad. Like, just the whole story seems a little bit comical.
What was that? What was that impression?
So at this point, once he heals Alexei, he's basically becomes their like personal doctor.
Yeah. Nothing like a doctor with no medical training. It's my favorite kind.
It's the best kind. Mm-hmm.
It's the only kind.
So Rasputin now is basically... Zarina Alexandra's like best friend.
Oh,
she nice. Has like the whole Romanov family. They all have like raging anxiety. I feel like, I mean, Alexandra is like, if my son dies, we're screwed. We don't have an heir. Nicholas is like trying to be like the next Peter the Great. And so his priority is like, I just need to go to war with everybody.
Yeah.
Which causes That's all
a great solution
the problems.
For everything.
So the Romanovs, great like solution. You basically have Nicholas who's just like, war, 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 acquire territory and be better than Peter the Great. And then you have Alexandra, who is just her only priority is her son. And then there's Rasputin, like all in the middle of this. And so many, he, you know, he has the clairvoyance, the healing powers, and like this for, like the ability to see in the future, right?
Foresight.
All this stuff. Foresight. Thank you. And people start to spread this rumor that he has like mind control.
Oh, love it. I love a mind control rumor.
Like, which has some like grounds, right? Like he's being sus. Mm-hmm. So people are just kind of thinking like, why is he so connected with the royal family? In addition to this, everybody thinks he's sleeping with the queen, which I won't say never because we can't do that as a historian. There is very, very little. There's almost
no evidence. I thought you were going to say the opposite. I thought you were going to be like, he was.
I wish. It'd be funny. Well, it wouldn't be funny. But it just, I just feel like it would add
homewreckers.
More.
They're so funny.
Oh, no. Trust me. I hate homewreckers.
Well, that's what it sounded like when you were saying.
No, definitely.
It would have been funny.
Do not approve of homewreckers. You know who you are. So anyways, there's rumors about that spreading. There's rumors he's like controlling the minds of the Tsar and Tsarina. So these rumors only amplify when Nicholas declares himself commander in chief of the army.
I love deciding my own position in a job.
And leaves.
Oh.
So leaves the palace, is out
is
in
to war.
Yep.
He's just like,
I'm pretty sure
I have this title now. We're doing this.
At this point, it was the Russo-Japanese War.
Oh, the Russo-Japanese War.
Okay, all right. That was a disaster. That was Russia being stubborn, and that was Nicholas being stubborn. He goes and tries to participate in the Russo-Japanese War. Typical. It was honestly, it was a freaking disaster for Russia. Basically, Tsarina Alexandria is ruling the country, but she's like nuts. Because
everyone else is just like doing their own thing.
Well, and nobody was willing to like be like, oh no, I'll just take power for
and
right
he
now.
Was off doing his own thing.
He was right? off doing his yeah. own thing. So it was kind of like,
so she was just like, this is mine now.
She's in charge. But it more by default than anything else. So everybody thinks Rasputin is calling the shots.
And Elizabeth Bath. I tried to combine the Hungarian and the English pronunciations. And it ended up as Elizabeth Bath. But what I was trying to say is we have an Elizabeth Bathory situation.
Minus
here.
Being sadistic.
Murderous. Torturous.
Minus being a Satanist or a Satan. Is that how you say it? A sadist.
Did you just combine sadist and Satanist?
I really did. We're combining all kinds of things today. So many combinations.
Oh my.
A sadist. Is
that,
not a sadist.
Is that more offensive to sadists or Satanists?
Probably both.
Anyway.
So yeah, she, you know, I will say that's fair. You know, she kind of takes a position of power, but minus being a sadist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because Nicholas is still alive and just,
well, she could have been a sadist. Office, we just didn't know it.
Perhaps.
She was not a murderous, torturous,
she didn't act on it
sadistic.
That we know of. So Nicholas is out at war, but he's still the czar. So nobody's like, I'm going to come take your throne because that's just going to cause problems.
Right.
Nicholas has the army. Let's not do this. So it was just like Alexandra was ruling in his place mm-hmm. with the assistance of Rasputin. So now we have the holy
and
man.
And everyone's thinking he's
in
charge.
Who's a clairvoyant who now also has basically become, quote, prime minister of Russia. Obviously, that position didn't exist, but think about it that way.
And they're like thinking he's.
And they're thinking mind control lover. That's what Rasputin is.
Mind control lover. So he's a lover.
He's her lover.
That can control her mind. Not someone who loves mind control. Maybe both.
Both.
Anyway.
So those are the theories. And something else. So something else is coming out that Rasputin was a little bit of a player.
Oh.
He liked sex.
Oh.
He was a man that was very comfortable having sex with anybody.
This is just making me think of
Katie from The Bachelor. I was thinking that too in prep. Not comparing Katie to like a sex obsessed, like crazy mystic from 19th century Russia, but
just the way you phrased it.
Yeah. No. So this is all coming out and people are like, okay, well, it's not off base to consider that he's like totally down to do it with her.
Yeah. It's not off base to
Alexandra
like, that's not a,
and Nicholas
not a reach.
Actually had like a very loving, yeah. like they loved each other a lot. So
but historically, it's not a reach if you don't have any other information.
And we're talking about the 19th century, early 20th century. Rasputin, it was also grounds that like no one was really considering a woman's consent in terms of all this stuff. So, which is not okay. So whatever. So that rumor had validity. It
right.
was spreading. People were like, okay, whoa. And keep in mind also, Alexandra and the whole royal family and Rasputin are just shut up in the palace because they have a hemophilic mm-hmm. son who can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasputin just kind of gets himself caught up in this situation. And essentially a conspiracy forms to kill him. And this is where we get Prince Yusupov and other supporters. Who,
I do not know who these people are.
Prince Yusupov
okay.
is just another prominent
I won't
aristocrat
remember.
In Russia.
I won't remember. I don't do names.
Point is, aristocrats in Russia, I always accidentally say aristocrats, and I'm really proud of myself that I said aristocrats, because that is a common mistake.
Pack
I
it
make.
Up, Murray.
What?
Isn't that one of the name of the cats?
Oh yeah. Sorry. I thought you were telling me to move quicker in my episode.
I was, pack up. Never mind.
Like, pack it up. Like, let's go. And I thought, I don't know why you said
Marie.
I
understand why you got there.
Okay. So they decide to form this conspiracy to kill off Rasputin, and then hopefully it'll bring order back to Russia because this war is not going on well for them. We're also in the early, the Bolshevik Revolution is
mm-hmm.
you know, getting some traction. We have Lenin is spreading his ideas.
He's
chit-chatting for those of you who are not watching the YouTube video. So
it was
anyways,
like the chicken dance.
Just Russia's in a in a state of absolute chaos. And let's just put it this way. Rasputin is not helping. Mm. The aristocrats of Russia have decided to...
What have they decided? Tell me.
Get rid of Rasputin. Yeah. So this is where we get to our story. So I gave you a little bit, but here's the details.
This is where we get to our beginning story.
I'm sorry. The beginning story.
It's like this is going to be the longest episode ever.
No. That is called the Stanford Prison Experiment.
That's why I was getting concerned. I was like, that
there
one
is no
was
part two.
This longer
is,
this than anything we've ever
minutes.
Done.
This will be 35 minutes. Have no fear.
I'm going to hold you to that.
They decide easiest way to do it. Let's just poison him. Let's have him over for dinner. We're going to poison him. It's a common trend in Russia. We'll just poison him and get rid of him.
I'm sorry. I spoke over you saying poison him with poison him.
So the first tactic was poison. So they had him over for dinner. They poisoned him, the food and the drink. And they're all sitting there eating and he's eating and he's not dying. He's just like, he gets up and he's like, okay, thanks for the meal, and like leaves.
And he should have died that quickly.
He literally should have died after like 5 seconds. I don't know what was specific poison.
So this is reminding me of like Michael Malloy.
I mean, that's exactly what's happening here.
It's such an interesting true crime case. It's fascinating.
So he gets up and he's like, all right, gotta go back to Palestine.
Peace out.
See ya. Gotta go save Alexei from bleeding out.
Again. And I know that because I do so much for you guys, you would never hurt me.
Never. And then they're all like looking at each other like, what do we do now?
Why isn't he dead?
And one of them pulls out a gun, pops him in the head. And they literally shoot him in the head. And he's like, oh.
I'm sorry, just that.
That was crazy.
Just that little surprise jump you
like
did.
That's what happened.
It was like a surprise jump, but with zero emotion.
So he's like, totally fine. So then they shoot him again, like in the heart. Totally fine. And then shoot him again in the heart.
What kind of gun were they using?
Well, I don't know. Nerf? I mean, whatever. It's the early 1900s at this point. I don't know.
I feel like that's...
I mean, there were aristocrats that had good guns. That's the point. Like, it was an effective weapon.
He should be dying.
He should have already been dead. Yeah. We shouldn't have had to use the gun.
Do you know what kind of poison they used? I mean, lots of people survive
one
stab.
It was laced with cyanide.
What? It was cyanide?
Rasputin, at this point, is like... There's a gunshot in his head, and he leaves at this point.
Because that's what you do when you've been shot in the head.
Oh, I did get this. Okay, he leaves after the poison and goes home, and then they break into his house and shoot him.
Oh.
That's what it is. Oh. He makes it, he's just home, and then they break in and shoot him in the head, and then
it
turns into this, like, crazy rampage. They're, like, Rasputin, like, jumps on him. It's, like, trying to beat each other up. They're, like, wrestling, and then they're, like, running away. And then they shoot him again, and he falls into the snow, like the bank of the river.
So how many gunshots is this total? Is this two?
I think it's three total. I'm pretty sure they shoot him one more time when they see his body frozen in the Neva. So he like ends up in the Neva River. I don't remember if it's like he shot and falls in, or somehow slips
and falls.
Or
if he fell
and
then they shot again.
Yeah. And then they shot again. And he, like, literally in the river was still, like, he was under, the frozen part and was trying to claw his way out. Like,
That's terrifying.
They recorded that there were, like, claw marks and stuff.
There's claw marks on anything, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. Oh, there's a dog next to me.
Oh, hi, Beth.
Your dog looks dead.
So Rasputin, frozen in the lake, eventually dies after many attempts.
I'm sorry. I was distracted by your dog.
He eventually dies after many different attempts. You know, there's the thing about Rasputin is there's many different theories.
Yeah.
Because he's so weird and mysterious, and he was relatively private in the information he shared. So there was a lot of different, like, he said, she said kind of situations. Even with his like murder, like, we do know he at least had three gunshots and there were laces of poison in his body and they found it in the river. But who knows?
Wow.
The actual story, I mean, it could be exaggerated. Only the conspirators know what happened. Like, so it's just one of those stories that has got this like kind of mythic legend attached to it
right.
that, you know, We know he had gunshots. There's a picture of him with like a gunshot wound in the head after they found his body. Like, we know he's in the lake. It's just like,
were there advanced photography techniques at that point that they could find, they could take a picture like during his autopsy?
He died in 1916.
Okay.
We had photography in the 1860s. Yeah. So all that to say, his daughter, you know, gets her own level of fame, Maria, because she writes this book, sure, trying to vindicate her father. Yep. Obviously, shortly after the father died, or Rasputin dies, the Romanov family is, you know, and Russia transfers over to the Soviet Union. And I guess, you know, whatever, there's Bolshevik Revolution because dates are different. But that's me being a history detailed oriented freak. Point is, in, you know, 1917, Russia completely changes. And most of it, and a lot of it has to do with Rasputin and his influence. And so kind of his death was the last straw before the full kind of takeover by Lenin and the Bolsheviks. Mm. And the Romanov family doesn't last much longer after Rasputin dies.
So they killed him, and then his death became their downfall.
Exactly.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
Well, not by them.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Rasputin, there are lots of theories about how he died. There's lots of theories about whether, you know, how much of a holy man is he? Did he actually have clairvoyance? Is he lucky? Like, there's so many different theories that each have, like, a little bit of validity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I just think it's cool to, like, trace the actual, like, what we do know and then branch off and be able to say, like, there's some of this, there's some of that.
Right.
He's the kind of guy that every time I go into research, I learn something new.
Mm.
And every time I like pull stuff up, I'm like, okay, I'm learning more and more and more. And
yeah, yeah.
Even just to your, like, the conspiracy theories almost. Like, he just has a plethora of conspiracy theories that you could just explore. And there's honestly, like, there's very few that are, like, not, like, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's Rasputin.
I still just can't get over the fact that they were like, we need to murder this man. And then...
And then literally, like, almost less than a year later, like, Lenin's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Romanovs are, like, imprisoned and then later shot.
And also,
like,
the fact that he just wouldn't die.
Well, that's the craziest part about his whole story is, like, he has all this buildup and having this, like, crazy elaborate life of being a holy man and a healer and a, you know, like, basically priest. He's, like, he claims to be, like, a priest of God and, like, starts off as this just innocent dude out in Siberia, married and just trying to be with God, and all of a sudden he's like borderline head of state and then assassinated.
Yeah,
like, unreal. So fascinating character, definitely more you could dive into that we don't have time, because I don't want to hit you guys with two long episodes back to back. I guess we should tell you where you can find us
if you want to see the picture of the bullet between his eyes.
Yeah, trigger warning. This involves, I guess I should have said this at the beginning.
Well, no, we'll put a graphic content warning on the photo.
Just
before the photo.
Be warned. But definitely, like, his eyes, his eyes are creepy.
All right, we will.
And you will have to see them on our Instagram.
Hyperfocus Pod.
TikTok.
Also Hyperfocus Pod.
Twitter.
Hyperfocus_pod.
YouTube and Facebook.
Hyperfocus:, a podcast for chaotic minds.
And our email.
Hyperfocuscast@gmail.com.
So yeah, send us fan mail. Send us your theory on Rasputin.
Yeah.
What do you think happened? Do you have your own conspiracy theory about Rasputin? Send us other topic ideas.
I have another idea. If you're watching on YouTube, then you've seen the Penelope Garcia coloring page behind us.
Yep.
And we need to decorate our space.
Mm-hmm.
What if we opened up a P.O. box for people to send us coloring pages?
Not colored, though.
No, colored.
Or colored.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. Coloring them?
I want to see y'all's artwork.
I actually really vibe with that.
Well, I mean, either way. I mean, we don't have a P.O. box right now.
Or
send us
a scan of your coloring
books. But, like, theoretically, would you guys be interested in that? Because you'd be able to see your own artwork and stuff on our videos in our studio. And it wouldn't even have to be things we could hang up. We could get little shelves, like, send us weird things you find in thrift stores.
Yeah, just send
anything
us
that
things.
reminds you of us.
Yeah.
Or like,
oh, that could get weird.
True.
But do it.
Or like, here's a little thing that reminds me of my favorite weird piece of knowledge. I don't know. let us know what you think about that before we pull the trigger on any of that. Let us know. But hypothetically, that could be something we could do.
Yeah.
Because right now, our only decoration in our studio is a coloring page of Penelope Garcia.
Which isn't bad.
Which I am proud of.
Our nails match Penelope's hair.
It does.
So anyways,
she's here
y'all,
in spirit.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. This is where we sign off, and we will see you next week.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.